Charles Davis, Fox and NFL Network NFL analyst. He's got a good one this week. Morning, Charles.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. You got a good one this week. You had a good one last week. They seem to like you. Vikings, Packers, we like you too, and we get to watch you do some of the better games, but are you going to get the better quarterbacks this week? What are we looking at when it comes to Aaron Rodgers? Will he, should he start?
Oh, boy, I love the second part, the should he part, because I think that's the part that they're going to be debating until they decide what to do in Green Bay. And, look, it's going to be the difficult part is Aaron is going to want to play almost no matter what. And I thought it was very telling, his quote this week about Brett Favre. And, you know, we've heard all those stories about friction between the two of them, and I don't doubt any of that. I think it was all real. But I think over time, when you assume that mantle and you are that guy for this long, I think what has happened is that Aaron has looked up and realized, my God, Brett dealt with some stuff maybe I didn't give a little credit for. Not saying that everything about the whole thing was his fault. That's not true. I think that Brett, of course, wasn't real thrilled to have a backup in town who was a first-round pick, and you guys trying to push me out of town. But what he said was, you know, Brett Favre showed me what it was like to exhibit toughness each and every day and be able to play through everything and show your team how to be a leader through all that. So I think he's dying to play in this game. Not to mention, as we know, this is a team that knocked him out of the season last year when Anthony Barr fell on him. So many things go into it. Not the least of which is a division game with a team that's beat them twice last year and has taken over as the front runner of their division. I think if at all possible, he will play. I'm actually thinking he will. But until he trots out there, we won't know for sure, because I wouldn't doubt it at all that he won't even practice, guys, this week. If he plays, he'll play without practicing.
Charles Davis, our guest, has it on Fox, Minnesota at Green Bay at Lambeau Field in week two. Yeah, it's interesting because you don't usually get the Favre to Rodgers thing or even Manning to Luck with that year in between. You got franchises that just circle, and I bet you that you could say there's six or seven of them right now that are trying to find a quarterback. Obviously, Buffalo, Jim Kelly, Miami, Dan Marino, Chicago. Who knows? Like, people think Mitch Trubisky has the most potential to be the best quarterback since way before Jay Cutler, way before Jim McMahon. It's Detroit, same thing. Like, Matt Stafford's the best quarterback in franchise history, and there's people that want to bench him for week two.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you just mentioned a couple of them. I mean, with the Bears, Jim McMahon was the small pocket, you know, of that was your quarterback, but he stayed hurt. It was very difficult. They had the one Super Bowl run. They should have had multiple Super Bowls. I think most of us agree on that. It didn't happen. You just mentioned the Lions. Bobby Lane might have been the last guy that you would say was that quarterback in Detroit. You know, again, they had small pockets of minor success, but Bobby Lane was, you know, he was big time when they won multiple NFL championships. He's the quarterback of the team the last time they won it all. So, yeah, for those teams, it's very difficult. For the Packers, you mentioned the Colts, that line of succession, you don't get it very often. And I did see a quote about that this week that Mike McCarthy, the head coach, mentioned, because they said, you know, having these guys, he said, yeah, if it was all strictly about the quarterback, I would agree that we should have had way more championships. He said it always comes down, it's the quarterback leading. There's always more that goes with it. But, yeah, to the average fan, to the three of us, we're probably like, my God, with that quarterback, you guys better build some people around him. So the Packers have made their runs. They just only got there the one time, which is still significant. And I think that's another reason why Aaron is trying his best to play. He wants to take this team back one more time, and he's got an opportunity if he's the one leading it.
Well, I wrote this week on our website, on Sportsnet's website, he's 9-7 in the playoffs. And you get people up in arms when you say, does he need more playoff success to be an all-time great? And you go, well, no, he's an all-time. But I'm talking, look at the trends, the progression John Elway had, right, Charles? The last right. 2 years got blown out in Super Bowls. And if we had Twitter, if we had all this stuff now, we'd be like, Elway, come on, he's 0-3. When's he going to do it? And he's under 500 in the playoffs. Gets Terrell Davis, gets a couple defensive players around him. Boom, all of a sudden he gets 7 more playoff wins in 2 seasons. And now he is a top 3, top 4 all-time quarterback. But he wasn't before. Whether that was fair or not, who's to say? I look at Rodgers, I look at Dan Marino, I look at Warren Moon. Those are my 4 guys, and I go, they all needed, maybe Dan Fouts too, they all needed a little more help around them, but they'd be right up there with the all-time greats if they had.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. It's one that when you have the debate, and if we're just talking about pure quarterbacks, all those guys that you mentioned are in that debate, right? They're in that, God, was there a better quarterback? And in a lot of cases, the answer would be no. These guys are phenomenal. But when you get down to the tiebreakers, okay, so who are the best? Almost every conversation starts with how many championships did they win? You know, that sort of deal. And that knocks those guys further down on the totem pole, which isn't fair in some ways. And in other ways, I'm not sure how else you break the tie. So that's what you have, and you make an excellent point that way. So Aaron would love to have another one, obviously. They all would. Look, Ben Roethlisberger's got two. Eli Manning has two.
Yeah.
Okay? Roethlisberger has been consistently excellent for so long. Eli's been good, and then at times has been excellent, especially in the playoffs when they've gotten there. But also remember those Giants teams that won it all. I think they were both 9-7 the years that they won it. And found a way through, and he played great during the playoffs. You know, so it's just a matter of how you choose who your quarterback is and what you like out of it all, because there's been no better thrower than Dan Marino. And he got there his second year in the league. I think people may have forgotten that. You guys haven't. But remember, his second year in the NFL, his first year as a full-time starter, he blows it away. They go to the Super Bowl. They get beat. And he and Joe Montana made that Pepsi commercial.
That's right, yeah.
At the end of it.
That's right.
Dan turned to Joe and said, "Hey, Joe, next time I'm buying."
Yeah.
Thinking, I'll be back. And they never made
it.
Yeah,
they're 14-2, and they lose to a 15-1 Niners team that just might be the best team ever. Like, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
What can he do?
What are you going to do? But you remember he thought at that time, at his age, oh, I'll be back multiple times. And his team never made it back to another Super Bowl. So you don't take it for granted.
NFL analyst of Fox and NFL Network, Charles Davis, every Friday, leading us into the NFL weekend. And look at all the games on the schedule. And everybody wants to win. But I think there's one team that wants to win more than the others when it comes to this Sunday. And that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know what happened in their game against New England last time they faced each other. What does one game mean to an individual NFL team? The Patriots lose. It's water off their back. What does it mean to Jacksonville?
Everything to Jacksonville, and not that it means that they absolutely go to the Super Bowl, but it validates who they are. It validates a lot of the offseason woofing of Jalen Ramsey. It validates the way that they've built this team and how they're growing, and they may not have Leonard Fournette, but they ran the ball successfully with other people without him last year, including T.J. Yeldon, so they may have to do it again. But that's the big one, just to be able to announce to the rest of the league that we went chest-to-chest with the biggest bully in the AFC and maybe in the NFL. And you don't think of New England as a bully in that way in terms of, you know, how we do, you know, taking your money in the schoolyard. But it doesn't matter how you do it, whether they talk you out of it or they smack it out of your hands, they take your money, okay? That's how New England has been for so long now. And Jacksonville wants to be that team to prove that, hey, we can handle this crew. And they need to do it as much for themselves as they need to do it to announce to the rest of the league.
Charles Davis, our guest. So I don't know if you saw the SI story on Russell Wilson last week. I was fascinated by it. I read it a couple times. And the concept is a lot of the defensive players either thought two things, Charles, for our listeners who didn't read it, that the defensive players thought Russell Wilson got too much credit for the Seahawks' success, wasn't made accountable at times by Pete Carroll, and wasn't really one of the guys. And you can get a sense, right? The Michael Bennett's, the Richard Shermans, they're not all quoted in this, but they're certainly, you know, floating some stuff out there. So this week, Russell Wilson gets sacked 6 times, and I read the headline, Pete Carroll, he can play way better, but we need to help him. In your experience, are there quarterbacks? I'm not there, but all I see is a guy that elevated the franchise, a team that was going nowhere, and signed Matt Flynn for $10 million, and then Russell Wilson shows up as a rookie, boom, Super Bowls, 13 win seasons, all this success. Could this be true that he just is? Can there be quarterbacks in your experience that are aloof, that just don't fit, that try too hard, that don't try hard enough? What do you see in Seattle?
Yeah, I think we've had that over time. I do, and I think we've actually had successful ones that may not have mixed quite as well with the team, and that goes against kind of our code and our understanding, because the best quarterbacks, the best leaders, we've always heard about, those are the guys that on Thursday night went out with the offensive linemen,
mm-hmm.
right? those were the guys that you know would hang with those cats and you know pick up the beer tab for them on the road. You know, those are the quarterbacks we've always heard about. But they're not. They haven't all been cut from that cloth. All right. In this case with Russell Wilson, we've heard these rumblings for a long time. The story really illuminated a lot of the things. And I've said since the Super Bowl loss to New England and the subsequent, do you remember the article, the subsequent, where they all went to Hawaii and fought it out and scrapped it out and then hugged it out and said it's all behind them, everything was okay? I was willing to buy it until I watched them play. And do you remember, was it last season, two seasons ago, when they were down inside the two-yard line and Richard Sherman screaming at then-offense coordinator Darrell Bevell to run the football?
That's right, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I knew right then and there. I said, okay, well, if I didn't know before, I know now. They never got past it. Never got past it. Because there's no way you're yelling at your OC in the middle of a game, a regular season game, to run the ball, because that was a very pointed. You didn't do it against New England, and we would have had another chance.
Well, the accusation in the story by star players that he makes that throw at the 2-yard line against New England, Pete Carroll's thinking, this is how I can help Russell Wilson win the MVP instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch. Like, that's I can't believe.
I can't believe
that would go through Pete Carroll. Score the damn touchdown, win the damn game, you're repeat Super Bowl champions.
Then you are never getting past that. And
I guess
no
not. If you believe it, like you're, it's like, hey, global warming doesn't exist. Right. I'm like, okay, I can't talk you out of it the next 5 minutes. What am I going to do?
I think what happened with something like that is you're so incredulous about how your dream has ended that you start searching for reasons why. Now, why didn't we hand it to him? Why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do that? And since I'm not on the total internal side of that, you know, the internal politics in the locker room and the whole deal, as the one, do you remember the one quote? I don't really believe that Pete would do that. There was one anonymous player. He said, but after a while, it becomes plausible. See, you remember that?
Yeah.
And that's what happens. That stuff festers for a while, and it gets there. And this thing about Pete saying Russell has to play better last week, guys, that started last year, actually, as this team was starting to fray apart. There were times when I would see quotes from Pete, and actually when we had games, he would talk about what Russell needed to do, and we needed to get him better here, we need to get him better there. And I remember thinking, I had not heard this before. This is a little bit odd. And I don't know if Pete was already trying to make that point with the defensive guys, but at that point it was way too late. They were already entrenched in the idea that you treat Russell a certain way, we don't another. And I will say this, when Richard Sherman talked about giving him grief after the interception and Pete called the guys in and said, you can't talk to the quarterback that way, he doesn't, you know, process that way, it doesn't work, that's not the first time in history that that's happened, okay? You have to treat quarterbacks certain ways depending on their personalities. I'm sitting in Green Bay now, and Bart Starr gave a famous story where Lombardi climbed all over him early in his tenure here as the quarterback of Green Bay, in front of the whole team. And after practice, Bart Starr went and saw Coach Lombardi in his office and said, look, you can ream me out all you want behind closed doors, but when you air me out like that in front of the team, that doesn't give them confidence in me that we're going to play well on Sunday, so you just can't do that. You have to do it a different way.
All right, Charles, great talking with you.
That's Bart Starr with Vince Lombardi, so that's what you get.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Vikings-Packers, Charles Davis on Sunday on Fox. Thanks, Charles. There you go.
Hey, thanks, guys. Be good.